On today's episode, I get to interview two great guys out of Putnam County, the Greencastle area, about an event that just happened this past weekend out in Putnam County called Pedal Putnam. This discussion is kind of a mixture of topics, but I really hope you enjoy it. But it's going to talk about the event, kind of the event production side, but also how a grassroots event can bring in so much to a community, but also talking about how it takes a village to put on events like this. So Wes Kendall and Tom Standers are great friends that live out in Greencastle that have taken over this event called Pedal Putnam. And it's a road event that just happened. And they just kind of talk about the ins and the outs of building community around cycling, as well as just creating an event that is inclusive and that allows all types of cyclists to come out and ride and be a part of something fun. So I really hope you enjoyed this discussion. And I really hope that you like the stories that they tell, but also sharing the stories of different riders that they spoke to that really impacted their lives through this event. So I hope you enjoy and take care. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to Life Behind Bars, Bicycle Indiana podcast. Margaret B. here. Really excited today to have two gentlemen that put on an event last weekend in Putnam County. And we'll talk about the ins and the outs of this event. But I'm super excited. Again, my name is Margaret. I'm from Bicycle Indiana. And I have two great guys. I've got Wes Kendall and Tom Standers here on the call. But first, I'm going to have them introduce themselves. So let's start off with Wes.
All right. Great to see you, Margaret. And Tom, great to be with you as well. So yeah, Wes Kendall just did the race directing for Pedal Putnam. And Tom and I both, you know, we have our day jobs, but cycling is our passion. So we both live in Putnam County, actually graduated from DePaul and have been back in the community for about 14, 15 years. And I would just say, yeah, cycling has given me all kinds of life. It's given me community. And we'll talk about this later, but Pedal Putnam was just kind of a passion project. Tom and I combined, I think, probably have 40, 45, 50 years of cycling experience. And we've paid for a lot of races. We've been to a lot of races and a lot of rides. And I think for both of us, we have just gotten so much out of the sport. And really, it was a chance for us to give back. And I got to say right at the beginning, Tom was huge. He's been a great friend. We've been through a lot together, including the incredible 2023 Unbound. Tom fared better than I did, but we have both been through some amazing death marches. I know he was a crit racer. I kind of started there a little bit as well. But I think both of us, you know, we are just avid journeymen, and we've been USA Cycling members, but we've also been a part of the sport too, where we're just kind of starting rides here in Greencastle and Putnam County. And Tom will share more, but I've got one, Get Buried for Life, that's just kind of a backyard gravel scene. And Tom does the bridge crusher, and he's got dreams of doing all the bridges over in Park County too. So I'll let him share about that, but it's great to be with you.
That's great. Thanks, Wes. Tom, you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
I don't know that I can top that. I'm a little under the weather today. So my voice is a little scratchy. I just spent a week with a bunch of scouts, in Hoosier National Forest, got pommeled by rain and stuff. So I'm feeling it in the last 2 days coming home. What an amazing event that Wes put on last week. And I just kind of stepped in at the last minute to help him out as far as whatever it was he needed done. And you know, we just make a great team.
You made it happen.
Been friends for a long time, and you know, we started riding together. Gosh, it's been over 10 years or 12 years that we've been riding together, and just kind of made things happen when we wanted it to, right? Travel to races together and just do different events and spend some time together. And it's great to know his family and spend time with them. Yeah, he said it all. We've been through some pretty wild times, and COVID was an interesting time for both of us. We were just on, just like anybody else, we were on a different level and looking for races to do, just trying to find anything to put on the calendar to fill our time. And Dust Bowl became a thing, and Mark made that happen. And I was like, Wes, we've got to try to do this Unbound thing. And we've tried to do that a couple of times together. And then just the opportunity to bring this event to Putnam County was, he made all this happen. It was really him, bringing all these people to Putnam County. I just kind of, on the day of, was in the background trying to make sure everything looked smooth and make sure he looked good. Yeah.
You know, I sat here before the call and I thought, when did I first meet you two? And I have a very specific memory with Tom, but Wes, I'm sorry, I don't have a specific memory. My specific memory with Tom was, I think it was the first time, maybe I officially rode with you, but we were going on, I think, the Get Buried course. This was years ago. And we went up a horrible gravel climb and you looked at me and you said, "You ready?" And you had this big grin on your face and then you dropped me. And then I was like, "What?" And I thought, that's Tom Sanders. So that was the memory I have of you, Tom. And Wes, I'm sorry, I don't think I have an actual specific memory like that meeting you.
Oh, that's okay. I'll be incognito on this one.
So Tom, I appreciate you being there that day because I was like, this is fun. This is great. So, well, first let's start off.
I do not remember that at all.
I remember it. Pedal Putnam, great event, road event. It is a timed road race event that has multiple distances. We'll go into a lot of the details of the event, but first let's talk about the very basics, which is Putnam County. Where is it? Greencastle, where is it? I know people can look on their phone and Google it, but Wes, do you want to describe the area and the location and this event?
Yeah, for sure. So, and I've been telling people we are Indianapolis's backyard. So we are 45 minutes due west of Indianapolis. If you're up in Westfield, Carmel, Fishers, it's more like an hour. But you just get on 70 and you come out west, or you get on 40 and you come out west. And Putnam County, I think what's beautiful about it is we have all this glacial terrain. So we have more hills. We're not Brown County, but we're close. And we have plenty of places where you'll get to 15, 16, sometimes 20% inclines. Yeah. And we have this amazing mixture of roads, chip and seal, pave, and also gravel. And like Tom said, Mark, and he shared his story, Dust Bowl became this thing because he just fell in love with these roads. He went out, got a bike at Walmart, and then he got a better bike. And he started riding the Vandalia Trail, which runs through Putnam County as well. And then he started just kind of teeing off of that. And again, I was a cyclist at DePauw, but I didn't really even know all these roads. But I'd say, yeah, we're just kind of like a hidden gem. And we've noticed, even before Pedal Putnam, like people are starting to show up here to ride these courses. So I will look at my Strava and I will see people doing the Unbound course. Or we had people coming from B3. We had some Roll Fast guys come in, and they were previewing the course for Pedal Putnam. So right away, I'm like, this is legit. This is going to be good. Yeah. This is fun. Yeah.
So just outside of Indianapolis, and I do remember last year, speaking of the roads in Putnam County, was there a grant that was received to repave and kind of redo a lot of the roads in Putnam County, or no? Is that something I made up?
Maybe a little bit. We're starting to put more money towards our bridges, and they're going to bypass Dunbar. And they're actively paving roads. And then I think what we have is we have Jim Peck, and Mark has actually had Jim. Jim is our kind of commissioner for the county roads. And he does a great job of preparing things and making use of the roads as best as we can. Last year, if you remember, for Dust Bowl, they were going to close a bridge, but the day of, like the couple days before, they actually opened it up so we could get through there. So they have a very active, road commissioner who's trying to bring these events here.
That's
which
great.
Is great for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Putnam County, how did this all start? Because I remember way back when Jenny Newland, good friend with WTHI, the local news station, started this event and had WTHI kind of help her promote it as well as run it. And then what? Who took over? His name is blanking right now. Seth. Seth took over, right? So you want to start off and kind of let us know how Pedal Putnam started?
Yeah, and I would even go back further than that. You know, Kent Menzel from DePaul was a USA collegiate cycling coach and used the Heritage Lake Loop for collegiate races back in like the early 2010s. And some of our riders this past weekend, like they remember the Kent days. But yeah, Jenny came in, the Visitors Bureau had a dream, and we are lucky to have Eric Freeman in the Visitors Bureau knowing that this is the future of our county is to bring in recreation like this. So she took it, and then Mark actually took it. Mark was, I think he did his first Dust Bowl, and then he did the first Pedal Putnam the fall of 2021. Right. Yeah, and it was like he was kind of starting to spin his gears, like, I love this. I can't imagine. I begin to sense this last week of all the work you put in to put on a ride like this. So for Mark to do both events in 1 year is crazy. And then he turned it over to Seth. Seth did it for a year. And then, Eric came to me and I kind of went to Eric and said, hey, I think we've got something here. Let's build on this. And Tom said it was all me. That's not true. I'm just, you know, I'm standing on the shoulders of other people. And really our playbook for Pedal Putnam in a lot of ways was taking the success of Dust Bowl, both very serious riders, but also people who are going to, you know, come over and we want to make sure they're getting a good value for their money. So if you're dropping $60, $70, we want there to be things for it to be fun afterwards. And we were lucky to have a local brewery here, Lost Hollow, open up their doors and, you know, Kona Ice and all these other things that made it feel like we could tell stories afterwards. And as you know, it was miserable. It was hot.
Oh yeah.
So to have things afterwards where we could kind of like chill and just enjoy the vibes was great. So that's the history of kind of the race.
Tom, did you want to add anything about the history?
I remember that first year that Mark did it, it poured down rain like buckets. I'm surprised the event even continued after that anybody would want to come back. It was through the, you know, through the efforts of Mark and Seth and Wes that just has made it happen. I think Wes took notes from both Mark and Seth's events and just figured out ways to promote it even better. Sure. And I think he's set himself on a cycle now that he's going to have to top it next year. Sure. I think this has the potential to be a huge gathering for Putnam County. I mean, he's right in that you set up a race to bring in all of those people that want to race hard, right, and want a super, super difficult event, but then also ways to include everyday cyclists,
right?
And that is where cycling is now. It's not just the licensed racer that comes in on a weekend. It's how do you include your community and how do you build this up so that anybody and everybody can come out and enjoy their Saturday. And that's what Wes did. And that's what Dust Bowl does and all of these other events. And that's, you know, that's where we're headed with Putnam County, with Pedal Putnam.
So on our previous podcast, I interviewed Dino, which is the off-road mountain biking and gravel and adventure racing. And I talked to our listeners about event production and how a lot of people don't realize everything that goes into event production. And for example, just timing. Timing itself is a stressor, right? Because you got to make sure it's timing everyone right, because people want their times and their scores and their places. But I give you a lot of kudos and respect because I used to put on events and it's very, very time consuming and stressful. But you did a phenomenal job. I was at the event. It was very hot, a lot of great people, beautiful roads. I had a different experience than I think I've normally had in events, but you know what though, it was well put on and congratulations. So again, Pedal Putnam is a road event that is in Greencastle that is wanting to create a community-based but also inclusive event. But I'm going to next move on to a little bit, Tom kind of touched, and you did too, Wes, about the different routes. So, Wes, mm-hmm. do you want to describe the three different routes and kind of what people can anticipate for each route?
Yeah, for sure. So we had a 62.3, we had a metric century, we had a 43-mile route and a 12.5-mile route, and they're all paved, a lot of chip and seal, but some really fresh new tarmac, which was great. And to your like point of event production, putting these things on, one, Tom has been a great friend, but you need community around you. Yes. And I would say in regards to the course, immediately he reached out kind of the weeks leading up. And the week of, he said, whatever you need. And I'm just aware of this as a rider, as a racer who's been in a lot of events. Like, it's so important to have a good course that's safe. And Tom was really my eyes on the course leading up to those days. And the weather was what it was. It was like 95 degrees, which already made it hard. And the reason you don't remember who I am, Margaret, is because you're always riding me off your wheel. So, you know, for you to have a struggle day.
She rides me off her wheel now, too. I'm getting too old. I can't keep up with these young people.
So, you know, back to the course, like Tom was out there with me 2 days before. We were sweeping corners. We were marking things. And I think any community, we're trying to find those roads that are safe for people. But what's super encouraging to me is, like, to Tom's point and your point, we had three different entry points, and we had people like Josh Ginsburg. We ended up having Jesse Smith and Reese, who won. Like, those are legit racers who wanted the challenge of a hard, hard course, and they got it. Lots of climbing. But the stories that are inspiring to me, we have a woman here, Julie. She had a friend that she lost, and she wanted to get healthy again. So she just signed up for Dust Bowl 100, like cold turkey.
Bam.
Yeah, she had an old mountain bike. She did the Get Buried for Life ride with us, and she's like, I need a better bike.
Yeah.
And she's been training hard, and like, I mean, she had a goal for Pedal Putnam, and she just narrowly missed it. But I told her, I'm like, if you could finish this today, you can do Dust Bowl 100.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then on the other side of it, we have people like another one, inspiring story of a woman who works at DePaul, and she just wants to kind of get into cycling. You know, I think she's probably in her late 60s, and she did the 12.5 mile course, and she was happy as a lark. Like, to right. her, finishing that course was just awesome. And so, like, the joy, you know, Tom and I get to see these people out there just having their best day, or maybe not having their best day, but knowing they're pushing themselves was just great.
Definitely. Tom, do you want to add anything?
The one that I was inspired by the most was that guy that I think he came in last place on the 43. He was the last one to finish off the whole course. He came from Chicago.
Wow.
And he was bound and determined that he's finishing. Wes, I don't even know. I didn't see his registration. I'm going to say late 60s, maybe early 70s guy. And I would pull up behind him and he would just say, how far did the finish? And I would say 5 miles. Okay. And we spent the next, I mean, even though we weren't together, I followed him just to make sure he was safe on the road. And he spent the next probably 45 minutes or so going the last 5 miles. He'd stop and rest. And do you want some water? Nope. I'm going to finish. Nope. You know, and just how inspirational. I'm just like, I hope that's me. I want to be that guy. Right. And I want to be here for that guy that has the drive to come out here and give everything they've got, you know, and have their worst or best day and still finish.
Definitely. I think a big portion or topic that you did touch on a little bit, Wes, that Dust Bowl does a really good job and some of these bigger gravel grassroots events do. But you really create a scene, you know, and, you know, production, but also creating this community focused event at the end where people can party and have, you know, Kona ice and grab some food and have some donuts and really creating this welcoming scene. And so that kind of leads me into describing kind of the day, you know, the schedule. Like, what happens if I were a new rider, like some of your inspirational stories, right? What am I going to expect if I register for Pedal Putnam? What am I going to expect for the day?
Yeah, well, I think first of all,
donuts, coffee.
Yeah, bikes. Start with donuts. You can't go wrong with donuts and coffee. You know, if you're looking for an event, find one where you can already see there's some good communication, because you're going to want like clear communication going into the day. And we are grateful, like, people notice those things. But you're going to show up. If it's early morning registration, you're going to register day of, like, you're probably going to be out your door at like 5 a.m. maybe, if you're going to travel, and you're going to get there. And I think, you know, my biggest thing is ride your ride and race your race. And Tom and I can share more about this, but we used to be right up at the front all the time. That kind of changed when I had kids and everything else. So I would say, if you're new to something, like, don't be intimidated just because other people have nicer bikes or they look way serious. Like, trust the work that you've put in. And then, yeah, you're going to find on that course, like, you're going to connect with somebody. So enjoy that experience in a lot of ways. Other advice? Get there early if you can. Like, try to get there at least an hour early. That'll help you a lot. Get the nerves out. You'll find a restroom. Enjoy that coffee and donuts. I don't know. What else would you say, Tom?
I could say that the transition from being those guys that go to the front of the line at the start of a race to being like, I think I'm going to start at the back, has been a 20-year transition for me. That's been difficult. Because I've been doing this since I was a teenager. You know, I'm not intimidated to just go and enter a race, but I've been with people who it's their first time when they're my age and they're nervous and scared and don't know what to expect. And I can tell you, just pin on a number and go. Enjoy your day. Find what you love. Don't worry about competing. You don't have to compete to come to these events. The only thing that you're competing against is yourself. And the object is for you to be better than you were yesterday, and to make yourself better, to make yourself healthy for sure. You know, get on a bike, get on two wheels, go out and find your adventure and what makes you happy. If you're at the front of the line, good for you. If you're at the last place, that guy that has to stop every few miles and get a drink of water, whatever it is, that's your event. And that's what you are here to do.
So, and you're out there. Kudos to them for being out there, right?
You beat the guy that didn't get off the couch.
Right. Well, what does our Jays cycling jerseys say? Riding fixes everything, right?
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
Right.
That's
so
exactly right.
Speaking of good communication, I think you did an excellent job with all the emails that went out to the registration. I want to talk about the ride guide. I didn't see that until like later, more close towards the event, but let's talk about this ride guide that you put together.
Yeah. So, I mean, here again, I'm taking a page out of Mark's playbook, but also, you know, Paris-Roubaix, Unbound, some of these really big events. You just notice right away, they have a ride guide. And it, I mean, sometimes you're looking at 20 pages, but what I will do, especially if it's a bigger one, I will print that sucker out and I'll just kind of look at it, because there'll be some great information in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it'll tell me kind of, obviously you want to know where sag stops are. Like, if I'm doing a 100-mile bike ride, I want to know how much I'm going to need to hydrate for that entire time.
I didn't do that yesterday.
So, you know, we put some good energy into it, and it also became a chance for me to highlight what a community thing it is. And I'll go back to this, like, we wanted to create an environment that was clear, was safe. And I got to say, like, our city police department, our sheriffs, like, I was working with them early on, and I know they do the same for Mark and Dust Bowl, but they all have very busy lives, their jobs are stressful, but I said, can I come in and just meet with you and both the sheriff and the local police department sat down with me. They looked, and you know, that allowed us to create a map that we could send out to riders. And then the thing that I think was helpful for ours, hopefully when riders had it, was it was all digital. It was a PDF and it was online, so you could click your links. But then, you know, if that's not you, if you're not a Strava person, if you're not going to ride with a Garmin, like, we wanted to make sure that day of, the route actually translated into something you could ride without all that stuff. So, yeah, hopefully it was good and hopefully it was accessible and relevant information to people.
Yeah. So a 17-page document with maps, information about food, where to stay, everything you could think of, right, in this document, which I thought was really handy. And obviously you can build on it and make it even more, you know, better for next year, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I think just, you know, the schedule, like, we put that in there because that's a big thing, is like, riders want to know, okay, when do I, and that's something that started too with some of these events, is you'll notice, and just be aware of this, if you're trying your first one, there's probably going to be a mandatory meeting maybe 10 minutes before the ride starts, just to give you some comfortability with the roads. And I would, even backing up, I would say one thing that's been really beneficial, and for riders throughout Indiana or people that are on bikes, just be aware of your weekly group rides. Before the event, it's probably helpful to go out a few times and just be around. And I know most communities have like a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday group ride. And that's actually been big for us, because we had people that wanted to do Pedal Putnam, but they could come a few times on a Tuesday night and ride around other people and get some of their questions answered.
Sure. I guess the next question that I have is, because I'm looking at your website as well, the description of the event, the murals. Can we talk about the murals? That was a big component of this year's event. West or Tom, I don't know who wants to take this topic.
I'll take it, and then Tom can talk about his favorite mural. So Chris Flegel, who is a mechanic with Top Hat Cyclery, he is also with United Way of Central Indiana, but he and Alex Chamberlain, Kristen Wells, there were some others in our community who had a vision of bringing art to Putnam County. And it started with four big murals on some silos that was an old feed center. And that just catapulted. And it really became, in 2019, a way for us to mark ourselves as a community. It also became a great way to see Putnam County. And we've just opened up something called the Putnam Pursuit. So there's 9 covered bridges. I think there's like 12 or 13 murals. But the murals that we have are just amazing. And we just had all the new artist submissions for the murals that are coming this fall in 2024. And we're getting people from across the world, from Brooklyn, from San Francisco. So we're getting legit mural artists to do designs. And I have this whole quandary now. Do I keep the same course, or do we try to highlight some of these other murals that are going up? So we'll have to figure that out.
Right.
Tom, you have to figure out, you know, are there paved roads to these places?
Right.
What mural is my favorite?
Yeah.
I don't even know this one. I'm interested. I really like the one that's uptown with the cyclists on it. I'm like, that's Wes in that mural, you know. it looks like the bridge that's by my house. I'm real big into the covered bridges, and I love that stuff. The murals really have transformed our community. And Chris Flegel has done an amazing job with that project. I heard it was almost 300 artists that applied to be the next mural artist in Putnam County for, I don't know, like 5 or 6 murals. So these, you know, these artists are drawing in from all over the country and all over the world. And Wes just capitalized on that, you know, with the idea of the mural metric. I was so busy I didn't even notice the murals that day, other than I think there was one in Fillmore where the SAG stop was.
The Cardinal,
Indiana Cardinal and everything that that Holly Sims did. So what an amazing way to tie the community together. Wes did an awesome job with that.
I will say, moving from Michigan almost, what, 8 years, 9 years ago, and coming out to Greencastle for the first time, I was blown away at the community and how it was kind of centered around the town, right? This the town square or city hall or whatever. But I really appreciated the cycling community, but also just the want of bringing in people to eat and tourism and shopping and all that stuff. So I really appreciate all your hard work and one, getting people out to Putnam County, right? So
what a challenge it was this last weekend with half of the city under construction.
True.
And Wes decides to, hey, we're going to close the other half for this bicycle race. I have no idea how many people we upset, but hopefully they saw the value in it. When I see video of Wes shooing people through the finish line, through shooting cars to turn the corner, we got finishers coming in.
A lot of people don't realize everything that goes into event production and permission and city permits and everything.
Permits to close roads. Wes did all of that, going to city council and county and getting all of those permissions. It's difficult in a small town with a major highway that goes right through the center of town.
That's true.
A U.S. highway that goes right through the center of town, to go to the city and say, I want to close these roads for 8 hours. And you know, they don't just give those out. It's difficult to get that done. Have to set up the, you know, how are we going to get around the city? And then all of a sudden, a week before, a couple of days before the event, the construction, you know, they had the road going through town that's under construction, Washington Street and then Jackson Street. They had it half split, right? They had half of it under construction. The other half you could still drive. And just a couple of days before they came to the city and said, sorry, we have to close the whole thing now because of the work that needs to be done. We have to rip up the entire road at the same time work on it all at once. Well, then that was like, wow, we just closed down the other half of the city for a bike race. Where are all these people going to go? And that just made traffic on Franklin Street, which was our finishing straight, just that much more congested. And it was just like, okay, here we go. This is what we're going to do.
And thankfully, we didn't get a lot of blowback. There were a few people that day, but it just
there's
goes
always
to show,
going to be somebody.
Yeah. And I would say it, like, event production, race directing, what I learned, and Tom can certainly understand this because he does this very well on a bike, you just kind of have to adjust and go forward.
Yep.
And it's kind of the same mentality, but it certainly made me so much more aware. Like, I think of the Hancock Flat 50, the fat tire, you know, the fat skinny tire fest. Like, yeah, I'm so much more aware of what is needed for a community to make these things happen.
Absolutely.
It's not just one person. Like, Putnam County has to get behind it. Hancock County has to get behind it, whatever it is. And I'm just, I know that I show, and I've been this way for the last couple of years. Like, I'm so aware of what these people are doing to make these events happen. And I just show up with gratitude.
Absolutely.
And
thanking the officers that are, you know, blocking the street, or the people with the flags and the vests. Like, I'm always the one saying, scream and thank you so much, because it makes, you know, your decision to cross that road so much easier. I will say, though, I was very, very happy to see Franklin Street because I was dying, but it was just a wonderful finish going uphill after you race for 62 miles. So you did a phenomenal job with the obstacles that you had. So, but speaking of kind of the whole event and kind of the recap, don't give me exact numbers, but kind of what kind of data did you get back? Do you have any data? Obviously, you had somebody come from Chicago and from different spots of Indiana, but how many riders did you have total? I'm not saying like how much revenue did you bring in, but just what are some data numbers that we could just discuss briefly about the event?
Yeah, so we had 175 registered riders, 111 for the metric, and another like 45 for the 43 and 20 some for the 12.5. That was a big jump for us. And the most encouraging part, and this is where the cycling community is really neat, because I've already said this, but Josh Ginsburg was our first registered rider. And Josh said, hey, V3, Team Elevate, some of you other area cyclists in Indianapolis, why don't we come over and do this together? And he's thrown out the idea, like, we should just do a team competition as well next year, which is a great idea. And so even before this year, we also had all kinds of great female participation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I noticed leading up to it is this was becoming an event where women could enter the race and challenge themselves, find other women to ride with. So obviously you've crushed it. You're a past winner. But we've mm-hmm. had V3 cycling, endurance, the divas, like I yep. noticed that last year, they have amazing kits, and you're looking at these pictures and you're like, wow, this is incredible. So Louisville, Owensboro, Kentucky, Evansville, Chicago, outside Cincinnati. Seth came from Colorado, so he's our longest.
Yeah.
And I will brag a little bit about the money. I mean, not for any reason for us or whatsoever, but it was a fundraiser for the Friends of the Park. And we raised close to $9,000 to that's support great. Trail expansion. So, you know, it is money that's going to go back into cycling for our community. And I think that's another part of it. Tom and I are aware of this. Like, at this point, we love to ride, but we also love to see rides that support causes.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's been a huge win, I think, is just to see how it is giving back. And it's bringing people in to these events that maybe are, you know, entry level cyclists or beginners. Eric Edberg, who did our national anthem, which was amazing. He's a nationally recognized cellist at DePaul. And he plays the national anthem, but I also know he's done like entry level triathlons here. So I got to talk with him just about how much it meant for him to be around the sport again. So that was awesome.
Wasn't his cello carbon, did you say?
It was carbon fiber. And he told me that. So because we were out in the heat, he couldn't bring out his real deal.
Oh.
So I looked down as like he's playing and I'm like, that is carbon fiber, man. That looks like my felt. Like,
yeah, right, right. Tom, did you want to add anything about kind of the recap and the data and kind of what you saw?
I saw people having a great time. That, yeah. I mean, just, I picked up, I ran the course, out, at the beginning, and then turned around and became, emergency pickup or emergency SAG or whatever. And there were two or three, that I picked up late, one for dehydration, another one mechanicals. Even those guys, they were just smiling. They loved this event. Thankful to have a pickup. Thankful to have a well-marked course or great SAG support. I picked up a guy that flatted at mile 15 at a covered bridge. I've known that guy for years. And he was like, oh, it's just my fault. This was what a great event. Tell Wes he did an awesome job. I mean, I just, all the feedback that I got was positive.
Was that Doug Kincaid?
Yeah.
Doug Kincaid. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, shout out to Doug. Wes had members of church running registration. And these guys, most of them have never been around a bicycle race a day in their life, and they're just smiling and enjoying. And I was just like, I know what stress the registration table is under on morning of. And they were just, yeah, it was cool as a cucumber. He had them prepared. Everybody seemed to have a good time.
Yeah. So speaking of, I want to talk about two things, and then I have obviously more questions I've written down. But I want to talk about what comes in that swag bag, right? The swag was awesome. And then also I want to talk about the raffle. So let's first talk about the swag. What do you get in your swag bag when you register for this event?
Yeah. So right away, you get an amazing water bottle from Specialize. And not all water bottles are created the same. Can we just say that? No, they're not. And so, you know, like we get these awesome water bottles. This one this year was a Sprinter one with the pedal Putnam blue. And I mean, legit, it's probably like a $20 water bottle. Mm-hmm. Then they got t-shirts, bringing in the mural metrics. So we actually had a one-off design from a mural artist that he said, yeah, you can use my design, but you can't sell it. So that's it.
Oh yeah,
I'm done.
Oh,
we had
can't,
a...
our listeners can't see you, Tom, because
yeah, I know.
Be a...
Yeah, Tom's got it on.
Tom got it on.
So, and then the other thing that we threw in there, and this is just, again, like, you know, we've seen this with so many other good events, like we threw some other free perks in there. And as the weather got hot, I reached out to Kona Ice and I'm like, can you guys just, you know, throw in 150 tickets? And they said, yeah, no problem. So we
That's
had
awesome.
That. We had a free drink. So Lost Hollow. And I would say that post ride vibe was the thing. And even way beyond statistics, like, this is kind of more event production, but find amazing photographers.
Yes.
Every ride has a story, but every rider has a story. And if you find a good photographer, they will show you people that are there from all walks of life.
Right.
And the joy for me, I mean, it was a hot day and you know, we're all just trying to get through it, myself included, but then you get these pictures and you're like, wow, like look at that t-shirt. Or, you know, the best is we have a picture of Mark O'Leary's son holding a water bottle.
Oh, I love that
real.
Photo.
Yeah. It looks like Photoshopped in, but it just looks like, dang, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So, yeah. And that family's going to have that now.
Yeah. Well, John Wallen, I interviewed for the Bicycle Indiana resource guide, the Berg, and there's an article about him, but he takes phenomenal photos that are like in the moment. And those are my favorite types of photos of people smiling or in agony or, you know, just drinking from their water bottle. And I think it really gives you great content, right, for the next year and current to market, but also just, again, to show off these stories of people's rides and events.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. And he captures all the different people a part of it.
Yes.
Yeah. And to Tom's point, like, we have funny stories about the older, like, ladies checking us in at Barry Roubaix. So maybe that was.
Oh, I remember that.
But I would say there's no way I could have done this event even like 7 years ago, because you
Tom
need community around you.
Right.
I know he should be.
And I totally forgot about the ladies at Barry Roubaix.
I remember them because you're just standing there like, please hurry up. And the line is just like really, really long. Anyway,
oh, that's too funny.
For all of our listeners, if you go up to do a gravel race up in Michigan called Barry Roubaix, when you do check in, you have these wonderful volunteers. God bless them. But we had, I'm sure, a set of individuals that struggled. Maybe is the correct word. I don't know. Maybe they weren't struggling. I don't know.
That's just classic. So there you go. Like so there's like the parts where every ride has a story, even the lead up to the ride a lot of times has different
right.
stories.
These moments.
But and I'm just so aware, like it took a whole community of people. John, my brother-in-law and his wife are actually photographers. And then crazy thing, we had kind of a drone guy, but that fell through. And then my sister-in-law, who does photography for DePaul, she's like, we know this kid. He's a junior, would be a senior. Nate Cicada, like, knocked it out of the park as far as some of the videography he did.
Nice.
And the dude, like, set down a camera. He set another drone high in the sky. And then he was controlling a drone with a VR headset to follow you off the start.
Oh, wow.
Which is just phenomenal. So, you know, find amazing people. That's kind of the story there.
And that's just cycling, I feel like, in general. You find really incredible people. Even people that look at you on a gravel hill and say, you ready? Right, Tom? Right? okay, let's talk about the raffle. You raffled off two bikes, kids' bikes?
I did, yeah. And shout out to Jerry over at Jay's Bikes. And then, again, I had two good friends in the community. One, Jadel Enterprises owns a series of McDonald's. Paul's a great guy. Tom can tell you that. And then Brooke with our local hospital. And I just reached out to them. I saw what Mark was doing with Eminent School Corporations. And we were able to get two really quality bikes. The Flynn family ended up with one. And then we just gave the second one away to a young boy, Griffin, who's only three. But he's going to be able to use this bike for the next 4 or 5 years of his life. And we're super, super excited. So,
you know, that touches my heart, more kids on bikes, right? Because that was my life for many years and still is, right? So let's talk about two, three more things. Pedal Putnam future goals. What are your future goals? What do you want to see happen? What do you want to do next year? I know it's like kind of tough to say it since the event just happened, but I always felt in event production, it was like the event ended and then you had to sit there and recap and reflect and go, I have all these things in my head I got to figure out for next year.
Yeah. So we want to grow it. But I will say, and like Tom and I have talked about this, like the beautiful thing about country roads is that they're beautiful. The hard part is they're not super wide. So I think we will grow it, but we're going to cap it. And then I think what I want to do is I want to offer a metric course that is challenging to a rider who's going to come over from Indianapolis. But I also want it to be so supported that if you're showing up for the first time from Bean Blossom or, you know, Shelbyville or wherever, like you're going to come and be like, wow, that challenged me. That was really hard, but there were a lot of people around me that day. And I just think that needs to be the signature of what we do. You know, if we keep the same course, I want to see more people come out and set that thing on fire and destroy the KOMs.
Definitely.
Destroyed all your KOMs, that's for sure.
Right.
No, they're gone.
I didn't have any, so.
Tom, did you want to add anything about future?
Well, you know, I grew up in road cycling, road racing, and over the years, have really seen a decline in road events.
Yes, I agree.
There's a lot more, you know, got into trail riding and mountain biking in the alt 2000s. And then cyclocross became huge.
That's dead now.
For a while. It was the thing to do for a while. Right.
Right.
But the thing about cyclocross is it's not necessarily all inclusive. Not everybody can just go out and grab a cyclocross bike and ride these old golf courses and nasty sandy hills
and
in the mud. Nope, not everybody. That's cold. Not everybody wants to do that, right?
Right.
And you know, and what do we do with these cyclocross bikes that we got? We go out and ride gravel. This is good. It reminds you of what it's like to be a little kid.
Sure.
And so we've seen a decline in road events. I mean, we still have rain around here and Hilly 100 was probably back in the day was the largest event in the country.
Oh wow.
I mean, it was approaching 6,000 people in participation, would draw in pros for speaking events over those 3 days of Hilly 100. But you know, everything has a cycle. And so I've just seen a decline in those road events. So I was really nervous. I'm really, you know, last couple of years, I've been really nervous for Pedal Putnam because it is a road event. How can you draw more people in? But you know what? It's those people that sign up for the 40 and the 12s, the ones that, hey, I want to go out and try to challenge myself to do an event. Those are the ones that are going to ride road most of the time.
Sure.
They're going to start off there.
Sure.
Yes, we still have the Reese's and the Ginsburgs and the Marco Learys that are going to race these road events and stuff like that. But it really needs to be marketed to include everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's where we have a niche, and we're close enough to Indianapolis that people will travel. We offer a good product for them to get into. Yes, great roads, challenging roads, challenging hills, and then great post events, the giveaways, it all comes together. You're talking about the rider guide earlier, and I was just thinking, you know, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a rider guide for anything. I remember doing the Hilly 100 years ago, and there was a rider guide for that. And it was about 5 or 6 pages of this, that, and the other, you know, different things. But that was the only event I ever remember seeing a rider guide until I did Paris-Roubaix in 2012. And I was like,
now you're dating yourself. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, wait a second, you know? You know,
uh-oh, did he freeze? I think he froze.
Maybe briefly.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute, I jinxed him. Oh, there, you froze a little bit. Say it again.
I was going to say the rider guide is huge because it gives you every piece of information that a rider needs, and it makes people feel more comfortable about what's going to happen. Marketing to everyone and being inclusive is huge. And I think Pedal Putnam has found that niche.
Definitely. So that's actually a really good transition of you kind of talking about how road is kind of dying and you're trying to bring it back, but also gravel events. So inspiration, what has given you inspiration? And my thoughts, and I kind of said this before the call started, but Dust Bowl, which is the big gravel event that's out in Eminence that Mark O'Leary puts on, but also Unbound. We're going to talk about those two things. So first, let's talk about Dust Bowl and how you use Dust Bowl as inspiration. I know we talked a little bit during this call, but Wes, anything else you want to add about inspiration?
Yeah. So what was inspiring about Dust Bowl was I could tell if Mark was passionate about it. And I wasn't there. I think Tom was there for the inaugural, like the COVID year Dust Bowl.
But
I
was there.
It was free. Yeah. I was there in 2021 when it was hot as Hades. And I didn't finish that year. Here's a story, you know, there's a recurring story. But what I noticed was Mark loved this. And it was coming from his own heart of like, hey, I want to do this for other people and I want to throw an amazing event. And you just had this sense, like when you showed up there, that people care. When you got to the first sag stop of the first Dust Bowl, you're like, wow, there's 14 people here cheering us on. And then when I got to the big one there by the Iron Bridge, like people were running to find my gear. And I'm like, this is just different. Right. Like this is a community that really wants to like come around to us on that day. And then I think the other thing that Mark did with Dust Bowl was he began to bring in every type of rider, like right off the bat. He's like, we're going to do our 0 to 100. Good friends of ours, Seth and Chels. Chels ended up being the one that kind of did that journey. So you realize like he wanted to have people have their own stories and be a part of it. And then I think, you know, Tom can talk about this, but he was striving to kind of get up to the where Unbound is. And Unbound is the biggest gravel race probably in the world. And what you're looking at there is, you know, you're going to be doing something incredibly hard.
And right.
It's the same with Dust Bowl. It's not as hard as Unbound, but it is hard enough.
Right.
So I think that was our inspiration, my inspiration. What about you, Tom?
For the record, for the record, Baru Bay is actually the biggest, is what I was told this year. And I thought the same thing. I was like, what about Unbound? But they cap it at a different.
They do.
Yeah. But anyway, continue, Tom, about Unbound and or Dust Bowl and how it's inspired pedal.
Well, I'll just even back up into gravel cycling and Baru Bay was probably one of the first, gravel races that I did. And gravel has been coming on really strong in the last 10 years, mostly now that I am older and look back at it, it's because of less traffic.
Yes.
I can go out and ride a gravel road and never have to upset a driver. Never have to worry about what's coming up behind me. And then Baru Bay. I remember the first year I did Baru Bay. There's 4,000, 5,000 cyclists, lining up and they're going off in shoots of 150 or 200 every 5 minutes. I can remember the first year I did it, it was 33 degrees, that those sandy roads were frozen ice, and sliding around. Even the post race events were huge, just like what we saw this past year.
Yeah.
And really brought together a community. And then, I can remember, when I first met Mark and he says, hey, I want to put together this gravel event. The world is shut down right now. Come over to Eminence and ride this with me. And I'm like, okay, here's a guy that I don't know. He's not from Putnam County and he's coming into our territory. What's he doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'm going to go check this out. And like like Wes said, you could just see the passion in Mark.
Yeah.
Wanting to put together a event that everyone enjoys. And he's just that servant leader, right? He's mm-hmm. on these group rides. He's at the back making sure that everybody is having a good time. Sure. And that's exactly how to make an event successful. I think we had like 30 or 35 people that first year, and it was all roads that I'd ridden for the last 10 years. He was asking everybody, what do you think? Do you think we could do this? Could I put this together? And we're like, yeah, do it. And that first year was incredible. I mean, he sold out in matter of, he knows how to pump it up. You know, right. He knows how to get people excited.
Sure.
And again, COVID just was like the perfect storm for him because people didn't have anything on their calendar. It's right. Like, okay, the health department says we can only have so many people, and it's like, oh, I need to get this one on my calendar. So he's really, and it's been mentioned across the country. Dust Bowl mm-hmm. is mentioned in several podcasts that I listen to about cycling events, and it's gaining attention.
Sure. I remember the first year he put it on, not the tester ride that you're talking about, but the one that he charged people for, and he was borrowing some of my race equipment. And there was a moment where they ran out of toilet paper in all the bathrooms, and he started to panic. And I said, "You didn't remember toilet paper?" And he looked at me and laughed. And I said, "Don't worry, I have some." And so it's just amazing how you can work with different people. And I think Wes and Tom, you've experienced this where you go to events or you are firsthand being that event production person and learning the different ins and outs, example, toilet paper. So my thing is always, I remind people, did you bring toilet paper? Because everyone needs toilet paper, right? So let's talk a little bit about Unbound. Unbound is a big gravel race, again, out in, is Oklahoma, is that right? Because Unbound
is Kansas.
No, Kansas. Unbound used to be Dirty Kansas, but they switched it, right?
Correct. So, and Tom has got such great stories. I did the last Dirty Kansas in 2019 before COVID shut things down. And so what was amazing about it, and I only did the 100 mile that year, was I had no idea what I was getting into. But the morning of, I show up, I get out of my car, and Peter Stetton is there with the team Trek. And that was the first year Lachlan Morton actually did it with EF. And it was like, holy cow. So even back to race inspiration, if you're around people that inspire you, these are professionals doing this.
Yeah.
And I noticed that last year, Mark, I roll up and I'm like literally riding behind Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
So, and you pass me in whatever video I have. But I noticed, like, get those people, even if it's a small event, find your Jesse Smith from Bicycle Station and say, hey, come over and do this because it'll help bring in other people.
Absolutely.
So anyhow, back to Unbound. Like I did it then, COVID shut down, it came back and it has just taken off. And Mahorich, who is riding the Tour de France, was there this year, along with all these other professionals, Greg Van Avermaet, who's a former, you know, Paris-Roubaix champion. And Tom and I have both experienced, if you love cycling, I think there's a lot that makes it kind of like intimidating, but I would just say the vibe of being around that, you show up and you're like, there are 5,000 other people here who love this as much as I do. Would you say right. that, Tom?
Or just as crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Wes kind of sparked me in the Unbound thing. I mean, I knew it was there, Dirty Kansas and everything. And then just out of the blue, he didn't even tell me. I don't know if he told anybody, but all of a sudden, hey, I just got back from Dirty Kansas. What are you talking about? I didn't even know that he was going. Because it was like, I want to do this event. Why didn't you tell me, you know? And so the very next year, COVID year, I was like, come on, we got to sign up at least for the 100. Let's go down and do the 100. Okay. Let's sign up. And it's a lottery system. And neither one of us got in, the 2020 year. So what, you know, the world shut down anyway, and they shut down the race and canceled it. I don't think he did. I don't know if he did, but I didn't even try to get in 21 because all of those people in 2020 were rolled over. But 22 rolls around and I was like, Wes, we got to try. I was really disappointed on lottery day to find out that I got in and he didn't. And I'm just like, well, crap, now I got to go do this 100-mile event in a new location with no friends, you know?
I'm sure you made some friends.
And I drag my son along, who is not a cyclist. We go to Kansas, and what a wild place, Emporia, Kansas, this little town of about, I don't know, I want to say like 20,000 people, you know, put on this event. And you know, yes, 5,000 people, 4,000 people come in to do the actual event, but the personnel that they have, I think they have over nearly 2,000 or 1,500 volunteers. They have this amazing expo that they put on industry that comes in and sets up their tents and to sell their wares and showcase their new stuff coming out. 4,000 people come to do this event, but 10,000 people are embarking on their community. It's a party, but it's just so inviting to everybody.
Absolutely.
Inclusive to anything and everyone. And yes, I didn't go and do the race that first year with anybody that I knew, but I met people. I met Fuzzy Zeller.
He's on my list. He's on my list to bring up. You know, yes. Good transition.
Anytime I go to an event outside the community, I try to wear a t-shirt that I have that advertises my community, because it hopefully, cross fingers, it sparks conversation. So I'm wearing my typical pink Jay's Bikes Racing t-shirt. And my son and I are at Jimmy John's the day before the event. And we're sitting down, you know, we wait in line, gosh, hour and a half for a $6 sandwich. And we sit down at a table and we're sitting there eating. And this guy and his wife come up and sit at the table next to me. And he goes, Jay's Bikes, that's in Terre Haute. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And he's like, oh, I'm from Indianapolis. And I meet him and I'm like, very, wow, you know, 4,000 people. And I ran into somebody from Indianapolis. Who'd have thought that? And we talk a few minutes and tell each other good luck and on our events and everything. The next day I'm riding this 100-mile race and I'm probably about 25, 30 miles in. And it's getting really hard. We're climbing these nasty hills on Flint Rock, and I'm floating back through groups, right? I did the typical race nerves things and started off too fast, and so I'm starting to float back through groups, and I'm, you know, I see this group coming up behind me of probably 100 cyclists, I don't know, and it's a two-track course right now where we are. So I'm in the right side track and this group is passing me on the left, and I'm going to let them go by and tag on the end, right? Get about halfway back through the group, and this gal shouts out, "Go Indiana!" And I'm like looking down at my bike. I'm like, how does she know I'm from Indiana? Do I have something on me that marks Indiana? I just reach out to her. It's like, how did you know I was from Indiana? She goes, no, the guy on the front is from Indiana. He's pulling us up this hill. And I'm like, I'm going to get up there and try to find this. You know, I get up there. It's Fuzzy Zeller. I was like, what the heck? You know? And so we rode together for 20, 30 miles. And wow, what a strong guy he is. He's older than I am. We're about the same size. And he's just phenomenally strong.
Yeah.
We just hit it off from there. We follow each other on Strava and don't talk to each other the rest of the year. Don't see each other the rest of the year. Unbound comes around the next year. Hey, Fuzzy, you going to Unbound? Yeah, we'll be there. Well, you know, it's like these guys, you know, you meet these people from all over the place and, you know, 40 miles up the road from you, and you don't see them the rest of the year, but you make this connection through this vent.
Right.
And you go and you reach back out to them and say, hey, let's meet up. And we meet up again. And it's just really cool.
Well, Fuzzy was my first podcast interview, and I didn't know that his nickname was Fuzzy. And then everyone keeps telling me his name is Fuzzy, like you guys told me, and I'm like, hey, Fuzzy.
When I saw the name on the podcast, I was like, Bryce.
Yeah,
I'm that's like, Fuzzy. That's not Bryce. I was like, Bryce. Who's that guy?
Well, so, hats off to Fuzzy Bryce. He's over there in Italy, finishing off an amazing like week of being out that way. And I didn't know him, but then I met him when we kind of were there in 2023. And you also realize they have also lived their own story over the last year. And every cyclist has had to battle through things. Like he had some crashes he was getting over, but it just makes you appreciate like, hey, we're all out here putting it on, but we've also had to push a lot just to get to these events.
Yeah.
In a big way.
It takes a lot of energy and time and commitment. So I know we've kind of talked about a lot of stories between you two, but I have two more questions on my pad of paper. I promise you, I don't think I'll add any more, but what is your favorite bike memory together? I'm sure there's tons, but can you think of one that is the best?
Yes, easily, undoubtedly, 2023 Unbound, the Unbound that, you know, we do not speak of because it was so incredibly hard. And I like everybody, you know, I think for Unbound, any press is good press. And we saw that because it was kind of a bounce back year and they still had phenomenal numbers. It was the mud year. And Tom and I go out together. It had been a hard week. We actually had a loss in our church that was really difficult. But I get to go out there with a friend. He's supporting me. I'm supporting him. But we start this thing. And Margaret, I kid you not, like Tom and I, and this is the thing about Unbound, and Tom can echo this. You have no idea what you're in for. You just don't. Sure. Like, I've never been so broken, but so happy at times. But we start out, and I'll never forget, because Tom's, and we're like, we're going in 10, 12 miles in. Tom's riding his gravel bike with cantilever brakes. And we knew there was this mud section come up. And Tom's like, I'm going to get it. And he goes into it. And he goes like 10 yards, and his bike just stops.
Oh, no.
And then I'm like,
I had brand new mud tires. Like, these are the best mud tires there. I can handle anything. Yeah, it didn't work.
He just pumps it in. He's done. I go off to the side, and like it kind of rises up this little hill. And you think, okay, we'll clear this and we'll get back on our bikes. This is 200 miles with like what, 10,000 feet of climbing, Tom?
Oh, boy.
So, monumental day ahead of us. We're only 12 miles in. I'm like, we'll get over this. You go up the first rise of everybody walking their bike. And it looks like the Exodus. I kid you not. Like, it looks like people walking for miles, and they're all walking and carrying their bikes. And I'm like, no, this is not happening. And by the end of it, it was it, how long was it? 4 miles? 2 miles?
Yeah.
You had to walk?
Yeah,
we walked
for, I calculated at one time the total walking that I did for the entire day was like 5 miles.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, I mean, and carrying a bike full of mud and spending 20 minutes cleaning the mud out of your cantilever brakes and out of your chain and everything.
And then ride.
You look over at some point and they had all these support motorcycles like camera crews and stuff. And the motorcycles are down to their, you know, brackets, like stuck in the mud. And then you look over and there's a paraplegic woman who one leg amputee. She has to ride it because she can't walk. And you're just immediately inspired. Some people are mad. Some people are just laughing. I just started laughing. But you're like, we are in it.
And you're not alone.
You're not alone. You're there with everybody. But it's meant to kind of push you to your limits. But Tom and I ended up having this amazing experience. I bonk at mile 78. I'm just done. And I'm kind of waiting for Tom. And then Tom's like, I am not quitting. And for me, it turned into this amazing moment of seeing my like really good friend push himself in ways that I couldn't even begin to imagine. I'll let him share the story because it is just phenomenal.
Well, I have a hard time wasting money. if I'm gonna sign up for an event and go, I'm gonna do everything I can to take in the full experience.
Oh, you did.
And this is a conversation we probably should have had last year, but having a year to think about it, I am so thankful that Wes was there. So many things happened that day that that I'm glad that I got to share with him. We got to the first sag and Wes was saying that he was done, and I was like, come on, just roll with me, we'll get through this, we'll just see how far we can roll. And he was done, and like he said, we had some things that happened earlier in the week, and he had things that he needed to focus on. I'm like, all right, we'll turn into my support crew with my son. My son was there and really is new to as far as the cycling scene of, and I was very nervous for him driving around with all these bikes, because he really doesn't, he really hasn't been to these big events like this. So he jumped in the van 10 miles after leaving. Well, actually, when I was leaving that sag, that first sag, I go to get on my bike, and one of the volunteers just said, where are you going? And I was like, well, I'm heading back, I'm heading to the finish. And he was like, no, you're past the time cutoff.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, what? And I look at my watch, and I'm 10 minutes past the time cutoff to leave the sag. And I probably said something, a little explicative. And I was like, oh, I'm out of here. And I take off. I was like, there's no way that I'm, that was my first clue that I was under a time constraint. And I was like, I can't stop now. I have to keep rolling. 10 miles down the road, this Kansas style, storm comes in that, is unlike anything that I've ever seen. You can see it coming for miles. You can see the lightning in it. And I'm looking for swirls. I'm looking for Dorothy flying through the air. I don't know. It was incredible. This rain coming down so hard that it's changing the screens on my touchscreen computer.
Oh boy.
And I see these cyclists on the side of the road as I'm passing by, huddled under trees. And I, the whole time I'm thinking, I don't have time to stop. If I stop, I'm not going to make the end. Hail comes. I'm leaning my bike into the wind. I think I heard there were 60 mile an hour winds during that storm. I don't know. But my whole thought was, lightning doesn't strike a moving object, right? I just kept asking myself, lightning doesn't strike a moving object. So I just kept moving. I think that storm lasted 90 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
By the time I got to the neutral water stop at 124, I was done. It had dropped from 90 degrees down to 60. I was shivering and shaking.
Oh,
I was out of water, and I couldn't eat the whole, you couldn't take your hands off the handlebars during this storm. So my nutrition was way off. I wasn't able to eat the way that I should have. And so I was suffering that bonk that Wes had talked about. And I sat there at this, on the porch of this little church, and somebody had come out and set up a table and started selling food, or, they had grilling burgers and had candy and all this kind of stuff. And I hobbled over to him and I said, how much are you selling your burgers for? And he goes, oh, just donation, whatever you want. And all I have is a $20 bill. So I said, can I have two? And he gave me two burgers and two Cokes for $20 that I put in his bucket. They were still red on the inside, but I didn't care. I ate those things. I sat on that porch of that church and contemplated life. Everybody was calling for a sag. Everybody. These Jeeps were rolling up, full of mud after driving wherever they came from to pick up their rider. And they would holler out the names of these riders. And I'm just sitting there. Okay. I have the phone number. Do I call? And all of a sudden my phone got service. My phone just started bang, 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 bang. And I look, and it's my cycling buddies in Putnam County. They're not talking to me. They're talking about me. Is Tom still out there? What's he doing? How's he going? What's going on? And I was like, okay, I have to keep rolling. at least I can roll downhill and see what happened. What's the next thing to come up? People were talking about another mud section. And I was like, I don't want another mud section. But let's go see how bad it is before we decide to pull the plug.
Right.
And so I just roll on. I was shivering before I go, the guy that's cooking the burgers is sacking up a sack of trash. And I'm like, oh, do you have a trash bag I can have? And he's like, yeah. I strip off my jersey. I take this trash bag and I rip a hole in the bottom of it.
Oh my gosh.
And I've got a poncho and I put the jersey on over this trash bag just for warmth. Cause it was absolutely freezing. And I roll downhill and it probably was a good 3 miles of downhill, which was enough to get my legs to move.
So this is probably like what, like early afternoon or something like that. And I've been driving in a van with you, your son, Elijah, and people will go on to say later on, they heard the sound of a train out in the middle of Kansas, which means there was probably tornado activity somewhere, but Tom's pushing along. The sun starts to go down and I'm sitting at what was it? Mile 164 of the sag stop?
I think it's 178 or something like that.
Yeah, so you're going to have like, you know, 25 some miles to go still. And it's getting close to like, I think the cutoff time was 11 p.m. And you're out there in the dark somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So after the storm and then the sun is setting, I was going through the cow pastures. The cow pens is what it's known as. And it was just a beautiful sunset. This beautiful full moon comes up. They got cows everywhere. You know, one thing they don't tell you about the Kansas prairie is the coyotes. And I'm not nervous about coyotes. They don't bother me. They're not after me. But on the Kansas prairie with the open range, they're after the cows.
Oh.
And you know, I hear these coyotes and they're within, you know, 50 yards of me making noise. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, so what? Coyote, who cares? And all of a sudden I'm looking up and it's misty and it's foggy because of the rain. And I see dark things moving fast in front of me. I'm like, what is that? It's too big to be a dog. I don't know what it is. And I look over and I can, the full moon is off to my right. And I look over and I can see these cows running. And I was just, then I realized I'm in the middle of a stampede because these coyotes are chasing these cows. And I had cows crossing the road in front of me, cows behind me. I get through that. Okay. You know, I'm scared for my life for a few minutes. And I'm going through the cow pens. And I think at one point I texted my son or texted Wes and said I was like 20 minutes out from that final sag. I roll in and it's completely dark. I'm 10 minutes past the time cutoff. It's completely dark in the town. There's nobody around. I knew where the sag was supposed to be because I'd ridden that course last year, the year before. And I just yell out, I think I yell out Wes or I yell out my number. And I hear Wes's voice in the dark. And all of a sudden a calm come over me. I'm like, there's my people. You know, Wes is calling me out and I roll up and I didn't even care that I was past time. I start pulling crap out of my pockets. Right. I'm like, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this, but I need this because I was nursing a flat tire with some CO2s. And I was like, I need all the CO2s you can find. And I send my son to the van to get more CO2s. And guys from the sag that are wrapping up are giving me CO2s. Wes is trying to clean my bike off because the mud was so thick on the chain that it wouldn't ride on the chain ring anymore. And you know, just I leave that sag with nothing but determination.
So it sounds like everyone should sign up for Unbound based on your story, your description of this adventure, right?
Yeah.
People can't wait.
Yeah. Got to get out there. Got to go suffer in the mud. I do have only like 10 more minutes on the Zoom call. Otherwise, it's going to cut off. But it sounds like you had a fantastic adventure out in the mud during this event. Oh, he froze.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there he is.
Come on. Unfreeze. There it goes. There I am. Well, let me push into this next one. You know, it was funny because in 23, it was like every friend that I knew that tried to get into Unbound got into Unbound. We all came to Unbound. Wes, Mark O'Leary, Craig Reynolds, some other people, and then they experienced the mud. And then this year, crickets. Nobody signed up but me.
The weather was good, right?
The weather was incredible.
Right.
That'll probably not happen next year, but
right.
And the course, you know, and all these people were scared about the course. I loved the course this year compared to last year. It was so much better. And I prepared a lot better this year. I started the race 15 pounds lighter. I did a few upgrades on my bike to hopefully make it faster. And with the better weather, with Wes's encouragement, Tim Schott's encouragement, going out and riding with me all spring, doing some crazy rides, really made my day at Unbound this year incredible. And I couldn't have done it without them. We have great gravel around Putnam County. But when it's still one of the, you know, one of the cool things that we have is the covered bridges. So, you know, I do the bridge crusher and we do all of the covered bridges in Putnam County. And I, you know, and I just said to Wes and Tim, and I was like, hey, let's go do let's do some covered bridges we haven't seen and go over to Park County. And for my Unbound training, Park County was the place to go. The gravel there, very similar to Unbound. So anyway.
And yeah. Maybe one of the things that like is in there that we don't even realize is I think for Tom and I, those have been formative experiences for our friendships. And certainly as we age, I think maintaining friendships is hard. Yeah. And every time I've done Unbound, I've done Barry-Roubaix, I've done Dust Bowl, I am having these experiences too. I just feel like the way that our life can be, community is kind of hard to find. And I think one of the things that you're hearing from this is like, we have people around us. And Tom and I would both say like, that's been huge. Like, it's been huge to be able to do these events. I was so inspired. He ended up being like the third to last finisher in 2023. It was one of the more phenomenal efforts I've ever seen, not just physically, but mentally to push through that stuff. And it was a pleasure to watch. I've also now been to Unbound twice and I had Tom finish like, you know, third to last. The first time I went was another crazy friend who's a big time cyclist, lives out in Oregon. That dude, he finished it, but he like literally collapsed at the end. But my favorite story is with about 50 miles to go out in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, he started hallucinating. And he thought a buffalo was chasing him. So he stood up and sprinted for like 3 minutes. And this is what, you know, like we do these things that are just silly and stupid, but they also leave us with these incredible memories of like, wow, I did something hard and I got through it.
And I hallucinated there was a buffalo.
Yeah. And you just like find like, wow, I've had these amazing experiences. So,
yeah. So Pedal Putnam created in some incredible experiences this past weekend with the heat. But you've made an incredible event for the community. So congrats to both of you. I appreciate you sharing all the stories, all the great ins and outs of event production, but also how cycling has impacted you as athletes and as humans. Again, Pedal Putnam is a road event that is out in Putnam County in the Greencastle area, and they want to grow the community, but also create an inclusive event for all types of riders. Connecting with them, Facebook, Instagram, and if you go to putnamparks.org, there is a little bit of information, a website or a page that has a lot more information about the ride guide, but also just general information about the event. Am I missing anything about connecting with you?
No, just at Pedal Putnam on Instagram is a great resource. That website's wonderful. And I'll just finish up by saying thank you, Margaret. Thank you for everything you're doing for cycling in our communities and the state. And we are super appreciative of you.
Definitely. I'm trying.
I'm gonna echo that. I mean, Margaret, you have been promoting Indiana cycling for years now and just have really brought a lot of us together that we didn't know. I mean, what a time to be in cycling with the invent of social media and bringing us together, but you have really made us a group that can be heard, that can be seen. We thank you for what you do.
Sure. I love it. That's why I'm here. Right. For all those that want to follow these two great guys, you can check them out on Strava and Instagram. You can follow their stories. You can follow Tom and Wes's adventures together, maybe not suffering in Kansas during Unbound. But again, I'll put some more information in our description of the podcast, but check them out on Instagram and Facebook. And I appreciate you two so much. I really enjoyed this talk, and I hope our listeners do too.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Margaret.
Have a great afternoon.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.